Well, good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, which are found in Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Each of the fruits of the Spirit must be developed in us, brethren. But I want to elaborate on one fruit of the Spirit, and it's probably one of the most difficult fruits of the Spirit, and that is long-suffering. Long-suffering is one of the characteristics of God. This is the one that I wish I wouldn't have to learn. And the problem with long-suffering is that it's very long, and of course, it's suffering. And sometimes we think, well, how long is long? Sometimes we can suffer for 6 months, sometimes 6 years. Some people even suffer maybe 6 decades with something. And God determines when it's long enough. Every one of the fruits of the Spirit is an attribute to God's character. Brethren, you and I, we are very fortunate that God experiences long-suffering. And sometimes maybe you might think, well, God, the Father, doesn't suffer. And we think Jesus Christ suffered. And we know the long-suffering of Jesus Christ. And he suffered a whole lot more than just the beating and crucifixion that he went through. He had to become a baby. He had to feel pain. The whole experience of being a human being. And even the suffering of his whole family kind of turning against him. Do you kind of realize that only Mary and Joseph and none of his siblings believed he was the Messiah until after he was resurrected? To them, he was Jesus the wacko. And he had hundreds of disciples. But at the end, he only had about 120. But let's think about God the Father. And God the Father does suffer. He suffered when Satan rebelled, because God did love Lucifer. He suffered when Adam and Eve rebelled, because he loved Adam and Eve. And he suffers every time he sees something happen on this earth. And we think about our personal suffering, and it's pretty narrow. I don't necessarily feel the suffering of a child that is maybe starving to death in Central Africa, because I don't know about it. But God does. We forget that God has value on the child, that child is his. Sometimes we think about the soldiers when they go to Afghanistan and, you know, they go and shoot down maybe a husband or a family or something accidental. But let's say they were to kill one of the warriors that has a family. You know, we see all the things that it affects. It affects the kids that they're bringing up, or their wives, their sons, their daughters. And every sin, every suffering on this earth affects God. And I thank God that he suffers long. What would he do with us if he didn't? He'd give up on us long before we were able to reach salvation. Brethren, God wants us to be just like him. If we want eternity, we have to really become children of God. We must be like our father. We must be like our older brother. And they both suffer long, and they suffer all the time. In 2 Peter 3, verse 15, 2 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, "And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." If God does not suffer long, you and I will not receive salvation. It is only because God suffers for us that Christ came. In 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now, brethren, long-suffering, sometimes there's different reasons why we suffer. And there are pretty much five major reasons. The first of the major reasons sometimes that we suffer is because of our own sins. We can't blame God or anybody else. We have to take responsibility for this. Of course, God will forgive us, and he'll take away the eternal penalty. But he doesn't sometimes remove the temporary penalties. Sometimes all of us suffer mistakes that we make in our youth. Let's say we were to get in a vehicle, get drunk, we hit a telephone pole, we lose our leg, and we ask for forgiveness. But we can't grow back our leg if we were to lose our leg. We see a bunch of examples of, you know, powerful men in the Bible who suffered from their sins. David suffered from his sins. And sometimes we ask ourselves, well, why are we suffering? And it's because of our own sins. Emotional, mental, physical stress that causes us to suffer. Sometimes it's just not physical suffering that is the worst. A second reason that we suffer is because the sins of mistreatment from other people. People who see others sin, or somebody treats us wrong, and therefore we give up on God. There's an example of that I heard one time. It's of a brethren going up to a minister, and he said, I heard this minister yell very, you know, strongly to his wife, and he pretty much not condemned them, but he was kind of like, you know, telling them. And the minister said, yeah, I agree, he shouldn't have done that. But have you ever yelled at your wife? Because believe me, I have. So in Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13. Colossians 3 through 12 through 13. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against each of Christ forgave you, so you also must do. The third reason that we suffer is because sometimes we just make bad judgments. Let's say we were to buy a used car and we didn't do our research. You know, maybe it looks nice from the outside, but there's actually something like a recall that we just didn't really, but we bought it. And then later on, the vehicle starts malfunctioning, it's smoking. And so that's an example of maybe making a bad judgment. Or maybe a personal bad judgment that I've made is maybe I'm not exercising as much anymore. And, you know, I start going to Mexican restaurants and piling up the flour tortillas and eating those chips before my meal, and I just pack on some pounds. And that's a bad judgment on my part. I should know that maybe I should start with a salad with very little ranch and maybe, you know, a piece of chicken breast or something. But we do, sometimes we make stupid mistakes and we have to pay for them. Now, the fourth reason that we suffer is we live in Satan's world. Sometimes we're born with physical ailments. Sometimes we have genetic predispositions. Maybe we're born in a family that has anger problems and everybody's angry. But God tells us that it's not okay to stay in, you know, in that state, in an angry state. We have to change, and we have to change. God says you were born in Satan's world and you suffer, and we must learn to overcome it. Brethren, since we live in Satan's world, if we listen to the news, after a while, there's a chance that we could go crazy. And it's painful to overcome it. We live, for example, like in an asylum. And we are sort of half sane because we have God's Spirit. So all the crazy people think we're the crazy ones. All the crazy people think the people getting well are the crazy ones. Because they live in the asylum. And the doctors of this world are all nuts. Now, brethren, they aren't just crazy. They're evil. I remember back maybe a couple years ago about, I believe the doctor was Gosnell. And, well, they were also showing some videos of the abortions, that botched abortions and, you know, late-term abortions. And after a while, just, like, I was watching the video and it just got me very sick. It was just so powerful. It was disturbing. And after a while, I just had to, like, just not even look into it anymore. Because it was just evil. And if we have God's Spirit, we suffer because of the world that we're in. If we're not careful, it'll make us sick because we live in this evil world. And we, brethren, we don't fit in this place. There are many people who turn to alcohol, to prescription drugs, to just regular drugs. And everyone wants to take away the pain of this evil world. And we suffer because we live in the evil world. Because we're also suffering because some evil is also coming out of us. And yes, sometimes we have to put our heads down and endure. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6... 2 Peter chapter 2. We think about Lot and how he was tainted by the society. And if we see here, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and deliver righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented this righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So Lot was tormented every day by everything he saw. That's one reason that God said, go get him out of there. And the angels, they forced him out. Because he couldn't stay there. Because he'd end up insane like everyone else. The stress was overwhelming because he lived in Satan's world. He saw it every day. He hated the world he lived in. It became unbearable to him. And in verse 9... Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Brethren, God knows how to save us. The stresses of this evil world will sometimes make us obsessed. Obsessed sometimes with what Congress and the Democrats and Republicans are doing. So we must watch and pray. We must condemn and stand up against these things. And we can't be obsessed with all the evil things or we will torment our souls. We do have to suffer with it because we are not allowed to run away from it and pretend that this evil world does not exist. We can't buy our own town build our own city and set up some way away from the world, a millennium on earth. People have tried to do that, and they've always failed. We are to live in the world, but not be part of the world. Now, the last reason that we suffer, the fifth reason, is, brethren, spiritual growth is very painful. It's also very encouraging, and it's always very painful, but it's sometimes it's very rewarding, but sometimes it is painful. Because we are learning and we are growing. Like when I was in school, you know, history, you learn it, there was meaning, you knew what was going on in the past. But then you'd come up to maybe algebra, you know, A squared plus B squared, or A, and you know, what's A? Is it an apple? No, it's not an apple. It's, you know, what's B? Banana? But no, it's just, of course, it's logical. But you just think about how complicated and how tough sometimes algebra was for us. And sometimes I think about maybe the blacksmith. You know, he gets a hunk of iron, he fires up the furnace, and he puts in the iron till it's glowing hot, and he beats it and strikes it, and then once he beats it, shapes it, he puts it into water, and then he reheats it again over and over till it becomes what he wants it to become. So we do have times of comfort. Because when they put us into the water, we feel comforted because the water cools us down. But it goes over and over again. And that's how God is with us, brethren. He sticks us in the fire and he shapes us to where his fine tool. God is the master craftsman and we are the tool. It's difficult because of the lessons that we have to learn. Now, brethren, let's end with some encouragement on Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors and birth pangs until now. Not only that, we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and redemption of our body. For we were saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So, brethren, we know the goal, so it helps us to keep moving forward.